How many glad to be in the presence of God today? I'm so glad you showed up. You know what the Bible teaches us? It says this, that God inhabits the praises of his people. And you all have praised God today. You have welcomed him into this place. Many of you are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what's so excited. All of you can be. Isn't that great? Many of you believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and God's willing to receive anybody today and allow them to be forgiven and remade and repurposed. And man, I just got to pray. I got to give thanks. I'm glad you're here. Thanks for showing up. God's doing some incredibly amazing things. This week, Vacation Bible School at the Church on Main, 18 human beings, children, received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, if you're going to hang out at Hillview, you're going to have to get used to people getting excited about other people getting saved. Because we're like really into that. I know that's not the hip thing that's going on in church today. You know, we don't want to talk about baptisms. We want to talk about our community relations. But our Lord Jesus Christ, he talks about what his grace and mercy can do. And here's why I love about people. You know, Michael, this is why I get crazy. Professors, Carson, this is why I get crazy about salvation. None of us can make that happen. It's one of the things that we know God is there. You know, we can get each other stirred up and tingly, but we can't bring anybody to salvation. That's a work of Jesus Christ. And so here's what's so cool. God Almighty, who made you, is willing to recreate you if you will open your hearts and minds to the principles of God. Now, we're going to talk about something today. Why in the world do I need to study God? Well, here's the first thing. If you're going to follow God, then you need to know who he is. If you're going to follow God, then you need to know who he is. And God calls us to learn who he is. So he calls us to study his word, not so we can be smart, but so we can be faithful. Does that make sense? Not so we can be impressive in argument, but so that our lives might absolutely glorify him. Well, let's pray and ask God's understanding to be with us today. Lord, I thank you for all of these beautiful people that you brought here today. First of all, God, I just want to thank you for originally making us. That was exciting enough. And then, Lord, I am overwhelmed, Lord Jesus, that you have been willing to remake us in grace. That we don't have to stay the sinners that we were. We can become the saints that are possible in you. And so I pray that that will happen today. And Lord, encourage us to just be passionate about your word. It's in your name we give thanks. Amen. Go with me to the Gospel of John. We're going to pause here. This is one of our big five. Why in the world do you need to be in Bible study? Why in the world do you need to study the Bible? Why in the world? Because in the Word of God, is the essence of God. In the Word of God is the essence of God. Now let's look at 1 John chapter 1. Listen to this. In the beginning was the Word. Oh, word up. Now let me watch. In the beginning was. Do y'all realize that the God that created everything is the God that wants to connect to us in this moment? You see, I think sometimes we don't understand the depth of God's revelation in us. Is this not cool? The very God that parted the Red Sea is the same God that's in your situation. The very God that healed the blind and allowed the lame to walk is the very God that is dealing with you in this present moment. Now, I could preach 1 John 1:1 for like 4.5 hours. I'm going to refrain from doing so. But you know what? Listen. In the beginning was. How many of y'all glad it starts with was? Was. You see, that's where God was. You know why he was? Because he is and he's going to be. Somebody hear what I'm saying? The was is the is that's going to be. Somebody hear where that is? That's now and later. That was is now and will be later. That's the only thing you got like that. You see, God was, God is, and God will be. Guess what we are? Is. Now, this is horrible English, grammar teachers. But if theologically it speaks. We is for a moment. Now, that's horrible English. Please do not write a paper like that. But I think you'll remember that. You'll remember that one. We is for what? A moment. But God was, is, and gonna be. But we, our is temporary. So I want you to see, though, we got to start some things off. It starts with God. It finishes with God. Inevitably, we get this question. I had Vacation Bible School. This question comes up in every Vacation Bible School. I think it's an incredibly cool question. Most of you as kids have asked this question. Raise your hand if you've ever asked this question. Who created God? I mean, I've asked that question. Did anybody else ask that question? I mean, I'd ask that question. Well, watch this. You ready for this? Was. You see, that's the beauty of God. Was. God is the author. He is the perfecter. He is the beginning. He is the end. You see, God creates. And you and I are createes, not creators. Does that make sense? And our little brains have been really whacked out here, especially for about 50 or 60 years, because we think because we went to school, because we gained some kind of intellectual insight, because we've temporarily responded to each other economically in a more powerful way, that now we're creators. But really, we're still what? Createes. Here, let me show you. Let's go to another passage of Scripture. It's at the very beginning in the Bible. It's called Genesis, beginning things, as things begin. It's the first chapter, and it's the first verse. And Robin, it's got an echoing ring of 1 John, or if you will, the was is. Check this out. In the beginning, God. We'll just stop there, though. In the beginning. In the beginning. Hold on, I don't think y'all understand that yet. In the beginning. Oh, hold on. That changes everything. You and I are not the beginning. Now, this is going to blow some of y'all away. Your mama didn't make you. Your daddy didn't make you. Now, that's breaking some of the mamas and daddy's hearts. How many of y'all ever had a daddy that said this, I made you and I'll take you out? You can say, now, don't do this when your daddy's saying that to you because you get hurt. But let's get honest. The truth will set you free. The truth is, your daddy didn't make you. God made you with your daddy. You see, in the beginning, God began to create. Now, you all think, oh, that's so simple. No, God created. Now, some of you are going, well, Pastor Ayers, I disagree with you. I believe that in the Big Bang, and I believe in the explosion of all the molecules together, and I believe we're just an evolutionary process of molecules morphing into whatever we will be. That ain't working. Now, hold on. I don't get all in an argument. I don't get in an argument. Please don't bring an argument. That's an argument I'm not into. Watch it. I'm not into that argument. I'm not into that argument. Okay, watch this. Here's the message of the text. God made. The argument of the biblical text is not how we made. It's that God made. I remember my geography professor and I, we didn't get in a heated debate, but he went on and on and on. You know, all this stuff comes together and bang. And I just simply raised my hand and I said, Doc, I understand the theory, the possibility, but I need to ask you a question. Who lit the spark? You see, this is the quandary. Because intellectuals ask me to have more faith than I'm capable of. They ask me to believe that from nothing something emerged. And they say that they have a struggle with that God was. See what I'm saying? Well, it's a lot easier for me to start with God was and he made the heavens and the earth than there is for me to start with just that there's nothing and just stuff comes together randomly and we're all here. Now you say, well, that doesn't make a difference. Oh, yeah, it does. Oh, yeah, it does. Listen to the philosophy of the world today. I'm evolving on this issue. You see, you can evolve yourself right into hell when you leave God's principles. That's the scary thing. Young people, listen to me. I'm not here to be judgmental. I'm not here to bust on you, but I'm going to tell you the truth, okay? I'm going to tell you the truth because nobody else is telling you the truth. Everybody else is patting you on the head and telling you, oh, it'd be okay. No, it ain't going to be okay. There are consequences and there are price tags that are way too expensive out there to be experimenting. God has called you and made you to be a blessed people. Be that. Be that. That's what God's made you to do. In the beginning, God created what? The heavens and the earth. Who made you? God. If you don't mind, look at somebody and say, God made you. Tell them. Come on. I want you to confess it. How many of y'all believe that? God made us. God made human beings. Anybody believe that? God made human beings. How many of y'all believe God made human beings? You are a result of the work of God. If you are redeemed by God and you have received Jesus Christ and your sins have been forgiven, guess what? You are a result of the work of God. Now, you say, well, what implications does that have big time? Because here's what we're going to talk about today, man. When we let the Word of God speak into our lives, three things occur in our lives. First of all, we get in the presence of God anytime we get around the Word of God because the Word is God. So when we go to Bible study, when we open our Bibles, when we work with people, we're in the presence of who? Jim, we're in the presence of who? God. Where two or more are gathered, we get in the presence of who? God. When we get in the presence of God, we are with who? We're with Him who made us. So we begin to become creatively aware. That makes sense. That's a little different, isn't it? Everybody out there in the world today, they want to be, I need to be self-actualized. I need to be aware of myself. Back in the 90s, everybody had self-esteem issues. You remember that? And people go, well, Pastor Steve, now they can't do that because they got low self-esteem. I say, well, I know where the button is. That's a bunch of bull. If you listen to this world, they'll give you an excuse to go to hell on a daily basis. You listen to the creation of this world, they will give you a way to hell every day. Because guess what? They will remove who you are and replace it with an absolute illusion who you might be. The philosophies of this world champion smoke and mirrors because they never want you to see results. And then there's God that made you, and He wants to redeem you, and He wants to be in you because the Word is God, and that Word has the power to create. You say, well, what are the implications? Three things Bible study does. First of all, it puts us in the presence of God. Secondly, it shares with us the principles of God, the truth of God, the way of God. And third, guess what? It leads us to the purposes of God, which eventually takes us to the destination of God. I'm going to explain that rapidly, so follow this today, okay? You say, well, is that a big deal that God made us? Absolutely. Let me ask you all a question. Do you think I support abortion or do you think I oppose abortion? Good. Y'all are very perceptive. Here's why. You women can argue all you want that you have a choice, but here's how stinking arrogant you are. You don't make babies. You don't make babies. I hate to disappoint you, and some of you will get mad and walk out right now, but I'm going to tell you right now, you might as well know the truth. You don't make babies. If you do, make one by yourself. Mm-hmm. You don't make babies. You carry them. God makes babies. You carry them. Men, you don't make babies either. You just drive by a little igniting action. You don't make them, you ignite them. Now, some of you need to put your igniters up till you get married. And some of you ladies need to understand what causes single motherhood. It's playing with igniters before you're married. And if you stay away from those two things, you don't end up in single motherhood. Now, hold on. I absolutely oppose abortion because I don't believe humans make babies. I believe God does. I don't want, you know, if you've been in some horrible moment with that, God forgives and God gives grace, but don't ever step there. And you say, well, Pastor Steve, you don't understand. No, I understand. I was a baby in the womb of an unwed mother, so don't run your jazz by me. And praise be to God, she had enough truth in her to understand who made the baby. Because it was early enough before the lies of feminism had sounded like truth. I got a choice. Really? Is that what you're going to tell God on the day of judgment? God, I killed because I had a choice. Well, if I do that right now, do you think that'll excuse me? Boy, the room gets thick when the truth gets real, don't it? Feel that Holy Spirit stepping up? Because why? God wants to bless you. That's what God's trying to say. I want to make you a blessing unto the world, and we want to step over here and step out of what God teaches into what the devil wants and expect God's blessing to flow. I'm telling you, God wants to make you. He wants to make you and direct you toward heaven. We got to step into the ways of God. Well, why in the world do you need Bible study? 1 John 1 tells us this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Check this out. Check this out. And guess what happens? Because He was God, all things are made through Christ. You ready for this? So who's making you? God is making you. How is He making you? He's making you through Christ. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. You know what Bible study does? It teaches principles, truths, actions, understandings that allow us to become what God has made us. Now, here's some things that God has made us. God has made us to be merciful. Pretty cool, isn't it? How many of y'all, if you get some mercy going on, it'll change you? How many of y'all, if you get some grace going on, it'll change you? How many of y'all, if you get some joy going on in your life, that changes the reality of your decision making? You see, Bible study is more than learning what God did. It is allowing God to remake. A study not to argue, a study to be transformed. See the difference? Spirit of God lives in us. Spirit of God makes new things in us. Mercy, grace, peace, joy, those things begin to flow out of us because of the power of God. I don't study to receive information. I receive information so that my life might be recreated. And now listen, young people, this is really tough for you guys because you and I have grown up in a head culture that has missed the heart. And the church has been very guilty of this. Fill in the blank. God's not fill in the blank. God's created a new life. Because you can have, watch this, the devil has every bit of the spiritual information that you do. So let me show you logically. Am I correct? Correct me if I'm wrong. Is the devil not aware of everything the Bible has said? Absolutely. That's why I get tickled at Christians that run around and quote the Bible to the devil like he's never heard it. If I was the devil, I've seen this happen before. He quotes it back in some foreign language with perfect language, and people have a meltdown. Because if you're going to fight the devil with your head, he's going to win. But you know what? The devil has no authority on a remade life. Do you hear what I'm saying? And so guess what? We study the Word of God to study what God's making us to be. Is that not exciting? I think this is an exciting journey. For those who are in Jesus Christ, guess what? Next week, you won't be like you are this week. Ha! Pretty cool, isn't it? Go ahead and tell somebody next to you. Go ahead and tell Kevin that he will not be like this next week. How many of y'all glad to know you're going to be 1 week closer to heaven next week? 1 week, you'll be one week closer to heaven. Huh? And God is bringing us. He is making us with a purpose. Now, note, all things are made in Him. Jesus Christ makes it, and Jesus Christ makes it happen. Let me give you a new proposal. You and I are going to have to study the Word of God so that we might be made what Jesus Christ is making us to be, so the world might experience what God says instead of just hearing us talk. Here's my proposal. We've talked too much and lived too little. And quit apologizing for God giving you a blessing in your life. Quit apologizing for doing what God said. When you line it up like God lines it up, He blesses your life. Your life will look distinctly different than those who refuse the principles of God. Stephen, since you do fight fires, do you smell different after a fire than before the fire? Hello, hell smells different than heaven. Hell stinks, by the way. It stinks of what could be and never was. And heaven becomes the testimony of what is. That's amazing, isn't it? Did you realize you're a what is? If you're a believer, just look over there. Well, just look at somebody because you don't know if they're a believer or not. Just say, I hope you're a what is. Come on here, just tell them, I hope you're a what is. I hope you're a what is in Jesus. Now, if you're a what is, watch this. Don't you have a desire to learn the Word of God constantly? Because you're a what is. I didn't have a desire to read the Bible when I didn't receive Christ. You know why I read the Bible? Watch this. I memorized the Bible, and I think it was in the third grade for one reason. If we got all the silver stars, we got to go bowling. You know why I wanted a free bowling trip. So back in the Baptist church back then, they bribed us with things in the world to be connected to the things of God. I'm glad they did. Eventually, I caught who? Jesus Christ. Eventually, I listened long enough for Jesus Christ. Now, I want to give you a couple implications here, okay? We got to let God make us like he wants to make us. And sometimes when we're being made by God, it doesn't feel like we're going in the right direction. How many of y'all have ever felt like you were in the wrong direction going to the right place? A couple years ago, I had to go to Destin, Florida, and I'd never been to Destin, Florida. I'd been to other parts of Florida. I'd been to parts of Florida where a major interstate gets you there. And so we flow to Destin. Have some of y'all, how many of y'all have ever been to Destin? Any of y'all ever been to Destin? Oh, great. A lot of y'all been in that beautiful place of Florida. I mean, it's amazing. Well, anyway, we turn off the main interstate somewhere in Alabama. Now, I've been through Alabama because they kill stuff down there, and I like to go down there and kill stuff with some of my friends in Alabama. Places you can kill stuff, I've usually been there. And so I get on these back roads of Alabama, and I got one of those GPSs. Is that what it's called, GPS? A lady talks to you, tells you directions. And I've been to Destin, man, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. We're turning right, we're turning left. We're right, left, right, left, 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 right. I've never made so many turns. I mean, this lady was so aware. She said, green barn, turn left. Red barn, turn right. I mean, we're back in nowhere. I'm thinking, I have made a wrong turn. Florida is nowhere. It's like I turned off the interstate at Alabama and turned into Butler County. I said, we have made a loop. Well, I know enough that in these parts, they got concealed carry permits. They don't even have permits. They just got carry. And I know this, that if I go knock at the door at 2 o'clock in the morning to ask where I am, somebody may be carrying me off in a swamp somewhere. So I keep listening to the directions, the principal. She says right, she says left, she says straight, she said right, she said left. And after about 2.5 hours of thinking, oh my gosh, where are we? And then there was animals on the side of the road. Deers that looked like dogs. Hundreds of them. Smallest little deers I've ever seen in my life. My headlights would come off a truck here, and there'd be little deers going. I said, step out of here. I'll eat you. They all just sitting there like that, doing their deer thing. You know what? Finally, after 2.5 hours, right, left, this, that, and I got Clacy in the car. God help me. Clacy's going, you probably not listen right, Dad. It probably said, I said, Clacy, be quiet. How many of y'all got some people that want to help you when you're lost? How many of y'all always got that one person when you're not sure about the directions and you're trying to figure it out and they're in the car and they think they got the directions? Mm-hmm. You usually call them a wife. Amen? I've told y'all before, they didn't put that woman's voice on that direction machine for no reason at all. They knew to break us into that new technology. Heck, we were already used to it. I've called her honey more than once. Honey, I got it. Oh, it's the machine. Yeah. Well, you know what? After about 2.5 hours, guess what? 2.5 hours right, left, back in these backwoods places, all of a sudden emerged the city of Destin. Civilization came out of wilderness. We got to trust God to make us in tough moments. And in today's times, guess what? We got to trust God. What's this? To be our maker, to be our remaker, and to be our destination. And if we don't, we'll try to create our own destiny. And if you don't believe that's popular, go to Barnes & Noble. There's a whole section on personal destiny creation. You know, we got all these things. Lord have mercy. Just look at the fad diets we're all on to look good. You know, if you eat this, you eat that, you eat this. You know what? I've come to this conclusion. I'm going to eat what I want to and die. Guess what you're going to do? You're going to eat the same diet, and guess what's going to happen to you? Die. You're just going to be dead skinny. Well, what's the difference between fat dead and skinny dead? Nothing. How many pallbearers you need? That's about it. You're dead the same way. See, if you notice people that ate well, they smile in the casket. They were happy when they were here. Those people that ate that cardboard. Because they mad that they died early anyway. We're going to die, and that's the destination. Here's not it. Now listen, but we're here for a purpose. So that's the purposes of God. To show the world that we've been remade in the glory of God. Isn't that neat? So listen, I wanted you to know that the Word becomes flesh. And the reason we need to go to Bible study is so that we can understand how the Word is becoming flesh in us. And so, Sam, it's not just that the Word became flesh. I believe that, absolutely. His name is Jesus. I believe Him wholeheartedly. But I want to show you something else. The Word is becoming flesh in the church. Because Pastor Derek, it tells us we are the body of Christ, Word flesh. We're the Word flesh. That sounds kind of gross, doesn't it? In fact, really, if you wake up in the morning, if you have a cup of coffee, Luke, guess what you really are? Word flesh. You are Word flesh heading to work. You are Word flesh heading to marriage. You're Word flesh being in parenting. You are God's Word in flesh being what God has made you to be. That is incredibly mysterious. Because only God can do that in you. So why do you need to be in Bible study? To be exposed to God's presence, to be reminded of God's principles so that you can engage in God's purposes and reach God's destination in your life. Pretty neat, isn't it? Pretty neat how that works. And that's Word becoming flesh. All right? So if you guys want to encourage you on this, guess what? 1st of August, that's next week. 1st of August is next week. How many of y'all realize 1st of August is next week? How many of y'all realize 1st of August is next week? And we got these really cool Bible study brochures, and they're really cool now because all our young pastors that know how to use computers make these things really cool. And they got cool quotes in them, but we got really incredibly gifted teachers in here. I hope you will grab a Bible study brochure, Bible study guide, and you'll get in Bible study. I don't care when you do it. You can do it Sunday morning. You can do it Sunday night. You can do it Wednesday night. You can do it at noon. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, noonday Bible studies. In fact, I'm going to tell you what. Here's what we've done at Hillview. We have made it impossible for you to excuse yourself out of Bible study. So on the day that the Lord asked you, why didn't you go to Bible study? You can be honest with Him. I did not want to. Yeah. So get exposed. Here's what we found. An hour of Bible truth a week changes the shape of your life Godward. An hour a week. Boy, that's pretty cool, isn't it? So how come it doesn't take longer than that? This is powerful stuff. It just takes a little bit to be made. It's a little bit. Learning and applying. What will God do? So I hope you'll take that brochure. I hope you'll get in a Bible study. I hope you'll connect somewhere. Now, parents. How many of y'all are parents? We've got a lot of young parents in here. How many of y'all? Young parents. Give me young parents first. Get your children in Bible study. Get your children in Bible study. Five-year-olds do not have the ability to choose. Place them in there, leave. They will scream, they will yell, they will holler, they will throw fits. They'll calm down 2 minutes after you get out of their sight. If you go back and pick them up, this is why they will be living with you at 35 in your basement one day. See, I want to help you stop this early. They are not precious children. They're like the rest of us. They will be insensitive jerks one day, just like the rest of us. Put them in the presence of who? God. Mothers and fathers of adolescent children. I don't know how you do, but I've just given you a heads up. You can do what you want to. Just quit bringing me your 17-year-old kids that have absolutely derailed and you haven't had them in Bible study or exposed them to truth one day of their lives. Because I'm going to look at you and say, you are why this is happening. because they don't have any counter. Soccer's cool, but it won't go against the devil. Football's cool, but it won't fend off the schemes of the devil. You know, dance is great, but it won't fend off the schemes of the devil. Intellect is wonderful, but academic team, all that stuff, but it won't fend off the schemes of the devil. Make sense? Travel sports teams will not take away the schemes of the devil. Eventually, they're going to have to know what God said, so they'll know when they're being conned by what the devil said. Make sense? Why do you think we got a generation that falls for everything right now? They don't have a fence post to go off of. They haven't been exposed, man. I don't get all tore up about that. I say, let's get that corrected. I love you guys. I love you young guys. I'm a parent of 20-something people. I want you all to have a blessed and abundant life. I've invested a lot to make sure that a couple of 20-somethings do well. But guess what? I noticed the difference between my 20-somethings and a lot of their colleagues. They got a principle in their life. And their friends don't have any principles. So guess what they live by? Y'all know what they live by. Come on. No, it's not the world. They actually live by something. Feelings. Nothing more than feelings. So I don't feel like going to work today. So I don't go. And the guy that hired me has no feelings. And he fires me. Then I feel bad. Then I have to get on antidepressants to feel better, because my whole life is driven by the schemes of the devil are not hidden. We got a whole nation that is living and making decisions right now on what? Feelings. What if you reverse that and said, you know what? I'm going to start living by truth. I'm going to start living by what? Because what does the Bible say? Through all kinds of crazy things happen when you live by your feelings. Your husband will step out on you if he lives by his feelings. Because one day he'll walk somebody and they'll go like, I can make you feel good. And he goes, feelings. And then he comes home and he's got another set of feelings. I'm sleeping in my car. That doesn't feel good. Because there's a hump right there over the transmission where you got to lay down. Now watch this. Not all good feelings lead to good places. True or false? So be careful. Truth will set you free. God desires that you live what? Free. That's why the Bible will help you do that. Does that make sense now? We don't just go to Bible study so you can check off on an offering envelope. Went to Bible study. Check. We go so the truth of God might take root in our lives, so we live free lives, so we live blessed lives, so that the world will get better. Make sense? Watch this. You go back to this. We live by our feelings. You know what feelings cause? A lot of divorces. You know what a lot of divorces cause? A lot of single mothers. You know what a lot of single mothers cause? Huge economic problems. You know what huge economic problems cause? A collapse of a nation eventually. It could have all been stopped by what? The majority of people living by truth instead of their feelings. Am I telling you the truth right now? Even you young people know I'm telling you the truth, right? God's doing something, and you're like, you better listen. This is what's messing everything up. Okay. What's this? I want to encourage you that it's okay to feel bad for a couple of days if you're headed in the right direction. I just want you to know when I was down there in Nowhere, Alabama, I thought I was lost. But I trusted what the directions were, and eventually I saw the light of the city. In a real way, it's kind of like that living, you know what I mean? There's some moments you just feel lost as an Easter egg. I mean, you just ask, where are we going, Lord? And then all of a sudden, guess what God does? He brings up his blessing in your life. If you stay in his presence, his principles, and his purpose. So today, guess what? Some of you were brought here because God would like to save you today. Y'all cool with that? I think he's a neat God. He forgives us of our sins. Anybody here? Have you been a sinner in need of salvation? Anybody here other than me in that boat right there? Man, I was a sinner in need of salvation. I sinned against God. I went to church. I grew up in a beautiful church. My mom was a holy woman. She never smoked a cigarette, drank a beer, or said a cuss word. She's still a sinner, though. In fact, I had a license plate on my truck. It said the only hell my mama ever raised was me. And I'd park right there in the front door of the church just so she could read it. And there she'd be with all her Bible study material for to teach those four-year-olds, and she'd walk by my big old four-wheel drive truck, and she'd look at it, and she'd go. You know what she did? My mama prayed me to truth. She didn't fuss at me. She didn't preach at me. She didn't try to be God. In fact, she knew God so well, she knew John 1:1, 2, and 3. She knew that only the Lord could remake us, so she didn't try to be God. My wife pulled the same trick on me. My wife, after the first 6 months of marriage, she quit trying to change me. I wish she's still trying to change me. Guess who she turned to? God. She said, Lord Jesus, I've married an idiot. You made him, you fix him. That caused me great problems in life. Okay? If God made us, God can remake us. Some of you today need to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me my sin. Hear me, brother. Hear me, sister. Hear me, friend. Guess what God will do? He will come into your life and forgive you of all your sin. Then guess what he's going to place in you? His Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit is going to come in you, and it's going to begin to remake you. It's going to begin to give you new eyes, new hands, new truths, new directions. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Some of you need it right now in the name of Jesus. Maybe you're really not saved. Maybe you just were religious all your life. Oh, it's such a con job. I always hear people, Troy, when they talk to me, I say, man, what's your relationship with Jesus like? I'm a Baptist. What's that? What kind of answer is that? I'm a Baptist.
I'm a Church of Christ.
I'm a Presbyterian. I'm a Episcopalian. Now we got new ones. I'm a Calvinist. I'm an Arminianist. This is for the church people that are splintering off on arguments that really God doesn't care about. Nobody talks about that stuff but a few hundred people that go to church. And then there's all these millions of people wondering if there is a God that really works. And we're too busy singing Just As I Am and staying as we are to let God Almighty recreate us to who we can be, so that our was doesn't have to be final and we can join his is and one day live with him in that glorious city. I'm telling you, God wants to save you. God wants to save you. Will you let him save you? You say, well, what do I got to do? I tell him I was a sinner. Lord, I've sinned. Some of you say, well, I hadn't sinned. Really? Y'all ever read the first? How many of y'all have ever read the Big Ten Commandments? I don't know anybody that's kept them. I know a lot of Kentuckians that's planted them. They plant them in their front yard in Kentucky. I don't know what they do. I never put Ten Commandments in my yard, but I've seen dead grass around Ten Commandments, so they don't help the grass grow. You know what the Ten Commandments tell me? I need Jesus. That's what they tell me, brother. Because it said, thou shalt not, and guess what? I did. And God said, and because you did, I have finished it. I have died on a cross so that you might live. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. Forgive me. Jesus died. He's risen. He's the only way to heaven.
Well, Pastor Ayers, I take intellectual issue with that.
You take intellectual issue with that, and on the day of judgment, we'll see who stands where. Here's all I'm telling you. With all due respect to your intellect, I trust Jesus' blood over your temporary insight. Because all you're going to tell me is what you think or what you feel, and I know what I think and what I feel hasn't gotten me very far, sister. You know what I mean? But I can tell you what Jesus says, recreates and creates.
Probably here's why.
God said this. God said this. For God sent his only Son into the world. Who? God. That whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but they will have what? Everlasting life. Well, let's stand up and live, if you don't mind. Let's stand up and live. I'm just going to ask right now that Jesus bring you to the altar. Some of you need to just be brought to the altar. Some of you need to know that you've been made by God. You're worthy. You're loved by God. He's made you. He wants to forgive you. Some of you need to come. You need to be obedient to God. You've received Jesus Christ through the week. You need to come and say, Pastor, I need to get baptized. Man, you saw Joel. You saw the baptisms tonight, today, last night, and today. God's on the move. We've seen a beautiful baby dedicated, a new family on the way. And he's being Bible studied. And Hannah, even when he throws a fit and says, I don't want to go, guess what? Go. Church, I want to wake some of you parents up. If you're paying for their SpaghettiOs, they go where you tell them. And they get to make their decisions when they pay for their own SpaghettiOs. So we ought to have a huge, Sean and Ben, we ought to have a huge increase in 20-something baptism and baptisms, ministry, all or other, because most 20-somethings, they ain't paying for their own SpaghettiOs yet. Yeah. Real easy to talk all this jive when your mama buys you gas, your daddy pays you insurance, your aunt pays you electric bill. Let me enlighten you to the rest of the world. They eat what they pay for. No credit. Travis, you came back from Nicaragua. Thank God that you were led and a great team was led and y'all put that water well. How many meals were bought on credit over there in Nicaragua? They ate what they had that day. This was the real prayer for them, wasn't it? Father, give us this day our daily bread or tortito or whatever. Amen? Whatever it is. Some of y'all need to get saved today. I didn't preach today so you could hear. I preached today so God might save you. I didn't preach today so that you could say, oh, man, that's interesting. I preached today so that God might make your life remade. My life remade. We're going to heaven together, those of us that believe. Those of you that are yet to believe, I encourage you in the name of Jesus Christ, let him draw you to grace. To refuse God is to live in hell. God did not make you for that place. And he will remake you fit for heaven. Let's listen. Lord, thank you for your word that became flesh. Thank you that it still is. Listen to me. There's some here that need to believe. Tell him, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for where I've been. I'm sorry that I've not lived like I really could live. And so, Jesus, I'm asking you to forgive me, and I'm asking you to come into my life herein. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me. He'll forgive you. If you're making that decision, come share it with our pastors. If you've already made that decision and you hadn't been obedient to baptism, why don't you get obedient to baptism and say, Lord Jesus, I know that you have saved me. Now I'm going to take a step of what you called me to do. I'm going to be baptized. Pastors right here. Pastors, we've got ministry going on. Hallelujah. How many of y'all glad to know people just get saved? They come forward and they walk up and it can't be emotional manipulation because I didn't even say come up yet. Come on, man. Let God have your life today. You know, if everybody in here needs to get saved today, so be it. One of the things I want you to check up on every Sunday, you better ask God, God, you got me? Guess what he'll say? You're mine. Some of you today, you don't need to be saved. You need to repent because you're not living up to your making. That's a good way to look at it, isn't it, Woody? There's times I don't live up to my making. God's remade me in grace. I need to be a grace guy. I need to be a loving guy because I've been made to love now, supernaturally. So let God speak to your heart. Lord, this altar is open. Come on, we got people being saved already. We got people coming to be baptized already. We got God's at work right here today, guys. Come on and come down here and let God just touch you and heal you and bless you. Why would you stand there and stare at the works of God when you could become a part of them? In the name of Jesus, let him bless you.